Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, June 16th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Thousands at Spokane No Kings rally, 800 in Moscow, 1,000 in Pullman. Even Boise's No King rally outdraws Trump's military parade. Washington lawmakers decry political violence after political assassination over the weekend in Minnesota. And Moscow council to consider requests to reduce city parade fees for Christian nationalist July 4th parade. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Washington legislative leaders issued a joint statement Sunday after the apparent politically motivated assassination of a legislative leader in Minnesota Saturday. The Spokesman Review reports the statement from the leaders of the Washington House and Senate said, "We are Americans before we are Democrats, Republicans, or independents, and as Americans, we need to continue to stand for truth, decency, democracy, and freedom. As political leaders of our caucuses, we stand together to condemn all violence that threatens the safety of Washingtonians. Our deepest sympathies go out to the family of Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and we are sending wishes for a complete recovery to Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette. We stand with state and local law enforcement in Minnesota as they pursue the person responsible for this act of violence. While we don't yet know his exact motivations, there is no doubt that this kind of political violence stokes panic and distrust in our system of democracy. We must stand united against it, no matter our party allegiance or personal beliefs." The killer, who police say was impersonating a police officer, hit the home of former Democratic House Speaker Melissa Hortman at about 3:30 a.m. Saturday morning in a Minnesota suburb, killing her and her husband, Mark Hortman. He went on to seriously wound Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife, Yvette. Senator Hoffman and his wife were reportedly awake and recovering in a hospital as of Sunday morning. Law enforcement arrested the alleged shooter, 57-year-old Vance Bolter, late Sunday. They say they had previously found Bolter's vehicle, which they say contained a hit list that included more politicians, abortion providers, and advocates, as well as flyers for No Kings rallies to be held Saturday, leading organizers of the rallies to cancel some because they were concerned the killer, who was still on the loose Saturday, might attempt a mass shooting. The No Kings rally in Boise Saturday attracted thousands to the state capitol lawn and Cecil D. Andrus Park. A number of attendees told reporters there were too many issues to list when asked what caused them to come to the rally. The Idaho Press reported one protester, Tim Schoonmaker, said he had 22 years in the military and 25 years as a federal law enforcement officer under his belt. Schoonmaker said he was at the protest to protect the Constitution. He said the Trump administration was going against the norms and institutions he was sworn to uphold. Schoonmaker said specifically the immigration raids and deportations violate people's rights to due process under the Fifth Amendment. He also said he believes the politicization of soldiers at Fort Bragg in California also violates the Constitution. Idaho Council on Developmental Disabilities Executive Director Christine Pisani, who was at the rally, said Republican proposals for Medicaid cuts that the two U.S. representatives from Idaho, Russ Fulcher and Mike Simpson, support were her main reason for attending. Pisani said the proposed cuts to Medicaid would absolutely devastate our home and community-based Medicaid services. "What's the plan? We can't replace this funding in Idaho. What's the plan for our seniors, children with disabilities, people with disabilities?" Public Lands and Natural Resources attorney Bruce Smith, who also identified himself as a rancher, told the Idaho Press the Boise No Kings rally was the first rally he attended in his life. He said the proposal from U.S. Senator Mike Lee of Utah to add a provision to the budget bill now before the Senate allowing the selling off of 2 million acres of federal public lands in 11 western states, including Idaho, was his reason for attending the rally. Smith said, "It's what distinguishes us in the West from what's back east. It's what makes the West great, and we should not sit back. We need the House and the Senate to do their jobs." A speaker at the hours-long rally, Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Minister Sarah Lawell, said, "We believe that freedom means all of us. We believe in democracy, not theocracy." In Spokane, No Kings Day corresponded to Spokane Pride. The Spokesman Review reported about 20,000 were on hand for the Spokane Pride Parade, and then No Kings protests began around 3 p.m. Saturday and grew to well over 10,000 people in Riverfront Park. Protesters began moving towards downtown Spokane at around 5 p.m. and began hours of marching around downtown. KRFP citizen journalist Cass Davis was there.
I'm looking behind us, and now we got cop cars following us with their lights on. I don't see them at the front of the crowd, but they're definitely behind us, coming up the end. I firmly believe there has to be... or 3,000 people out in the streets here. We're being followed by the police on back, and I don't see any lights up front, but I'm guessing they're coming. Ooh, here's somebody. He's got a sign that actually has Donald Trump behind bars in a little Trump doll, and it's behind bars. That's really cool. Some really neat signs here. "We will never stand with you. We won't ever kneel with you." Or I should say before you, Donald Trump's birthday. Thanks. All right, we're at the corner of Lincoln and Spokane Falls Boulevard now. And
it's like a little bit behind that, right on the...
It's still being trailed by the cops, I think. They're going to stop this soon. Oh, yeah, I see the cops now up front. They plan to stop us before we go too far now. All right. Still on Lincoln Street. It looks like everybody's turning up here. I think there's a cop line in front of us. There is. A block down, so instead everybody turn. And everybody's out in front of... What is it here?
I think this might be standing outside.
It looks like we're in front of the big court building, is that right? The Thomas F. Foley United States Courthouse. And the whole rotunda, or the whole front part here, is full of people.
That was KRFP citizen journalist Cass Davis in Spokane Saturday evening. The crowd of more than 10,000 people was smaller later, and the Spokane police began issuing dispersal orders over loudspeakers around 8:45 p.m., and police say they started arresting people at 8:58 p.m., and a few minutes later they started deploying rounds of smoke grenades and pepper balls at the crowd, in their words, to gain compliance. The Spokane Review reports someone found at least one spent foam bullet along Spokane Falls Boulevard. The police press release did not mention deploying less lethal munitions at the crowd Saturday night. There were 11 arrests. In Spokane, This reporter counted 800 people crossing the intersection west of Gormley Park, heading to three intersections along the Pullman Highway to wave signs and chant at the No Kings demonstration in Pullman. An organizer with a clicker counted 1,009 people going through a bottleneck of the protest. Here are some of the sounds of the Moscow protest, followed by sounds of the Pullman No Kings rally, recorded by KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox.
Let's make it joyful, because this protest isn't about Trump, it's about we the people.
And we are not here because we hate Trump, we're here because we love America and everyone who lives here. So let's raise our voices, not in anger, but in celebration, because this is still the land of the free and the home of the brave, and all of you here today are proof of that. I'll leave you now with a few quotes that beautifully capture why what we're doing here matters so very much. Thomas Jefferson wrote that all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And finally, Frederick Douglass reminds us that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they are resisted with either words or blows or both. With all due respect to Mr. Douglass, we're going to keep it nonviolent today. That being said, we will not submit. We will not be ruled. Our rights and our freedoms are not negotiable.
That's right.
So today, let's show the opposition what real American greatness looks like.
Get in good trouble, necessary trouble, and help redeem the soul of America. John Lewis quote. Talk about a faux king joke. I'm doing this for radio, so I got production. We're like crisis of world leadership. You guys are really young. What are you thinking about for the future? We got to do something, right?
Well, I'm not really too sure much about my future yet. I just know that he's not making it look great for us. I mean, he's putting all these tariffs in place. They're not helping us. And the economy we had with Biden, although he wasn't a perfect president, I don't agree with all of his viewpoints. He had a decent economy, and then when Trump was became president and he started his economy, everybody blamed it on Biden, even though it was months into his presidency when people started blaming Biden instead of praising Trump for the so-called Trump economy.
Do you think you'll be living under a dictatorship at some point?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Do anything to prevent them.
I'm here because I feel a real need to just be present against the sort of treachery that's coming out of Washington and out of Mr. Trump. I'm tired of his dictator-like behavior and all the endless list of chaos that he's brought on to us lately.
One side of your sign says, yes to diverse, equitable, inclusive democracy. And the other side says, no kings, no emperors, no knowledge, fearing, bullying, mafia, boss.
We don't want kings in this country.
Okay.
Anything? I think what we feel is what a lot of people here present feel today, which is that we've witnessed a lot of rights and a lot of humanity stepped on by this government. And, you know, it's honestly, everyone I feel like has felt a civic duty to step out and show the displeasure that everyone's feeling. And what weapon do we have other than voting that has obviously been disrespected? People have seen that disrespect in this government. So people are out here showing their very visible, I want to be very careful with my words here just because I know it is weaponized against us, but our displeasure at what's been going on and how we feel like we're kind of going back in time of all of the rights and the freedoms that people in the past have fought for. And I've kind of recognized it in the people that are here today. A lot of them are people who have protested in the past or have had protested stuff that were even before I was born that they were still fighting for, that they feel like is under attack now.
We're just here to protest the No Kings. We have a democracy that we stand for. Yeah, I think I don't need to say much more after that. A lot of these people here have all the signs that say, we don't have a leadership that's on a dictatorship. And so from taking away all the things that we've been working hard for as American people, such as myself, trying to take away our American dream, and coming from Mexico myself to America as an American citizen, it's something that I want to fight for, it's something that we all work hard for. So none of that American dream comes free, though. You got to fight for it, just as they always did. So that's what we're here to do today.
Yeah. Did you follow what just went down up in Spokane?
Yeah. With the ICE raids, those people are trying to stand forth for what it is. It's unfortunate for those Venezuelan boys that have been deported based on following the rules and doing everything they need to do to stay in asylums. If you know anything about Venezuela and their government, it is a very dangerous place. I have family that are dear to me, that are Venezuelans, that firsthand have the same exact situation going on. And to me, it's a real thing. There's real violence. They definitely were for their lives. It's pretty scary. So the fact that they had a place to go to and be at, and we also can help that by being supportive Americans and following the rules as such as they're supposed to, I feel like those are not who we need to deport. There are people who are here illegally. There are people who are dangerous as well, that are criminals, as they say. But they come from all different races. And so the bottom line is that's not how we do it. We have a judicial branch in the United States government. That's one of our three branches that we have for a reason. And we should stand for that. There's a reason for that. And so those people can follow the due process to get rid of them, to get them out and deported. And then we can be the government that we're supposed to be. We're not a dictatorship. We're a democracy in the United States of America.
Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Fascist USA.
All right. And what's your name?
Hannah.
And you are?
Brianna.
Okay. What brings you out today?
Well, mainly we're both mothers of two wonderful daughters each. Mm-hmm. And I have to stand up for the fact that their rights are being threatened and our neighbors' rights are being threatened. And we don't live in a country that I recognize anymore. And it's kind of a hard pill to swallow. And so this is our right and our duty to make our voices heard.
Right. It's our job to use our privilege to speak and show up for people who can't show up for themselves.
I read that in the paper just recently.
Yeah, and to be a good example to the next generation.
Yeah, we're raising strong daughters to stand up to weak men.
I think we have a beautiful turnout. I'm hearing rumors that this is the largest protest we've ever had in Pullman.
It's over 1,000 right now.
Yes, and it's peaceful. And that is beautiful.
That was some of the sounds of the Pullman No Kings rally, recorded by KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox. And preceded that, we heard some of the sounds of the Moscow rally. The Moscow rally attracted 800 people, and there were about 1,000 people at the Pullman No Kings rally on Saturday. Here's an update issued by former Spokane City Council President Ben Stuckert over the weekend on his Facebook page after he called on community members to block ICE from taking away two immigrants on Wednesday, one from Venezuela and one from Colombia, in a protest that swelled to about 1,000 people and ended with the Spokane police deploying smoke grenades and less lethal munitions at protesters, with Mayor Lisa Brown calling a 9:30 p.m. curfew. Stuckert wrote, "Update and clear some lies. One, Cesar and Joshuar have met with their lawyers and Shelley O'Quinn in Tacoma. Conditions have been awful and they are sad and scared. ICE is aware of the attention on this case. They have a chance because we all acted and care. Had Wednesday not happened, no one would have heard from them. We all need to protect people. This is happening to our neighbors, and we need to act. Two, the mayor promised to send in de-escalation folks before the police action. That never happened, and that is why things got rowdy. We had a chance to stop this. The escalation and anything that happened after is the powers that be fault, not the nonviolent protesters' fault. Statements have been made that we asked for the police. That is untrue. Picture below is my first communication with the mayor, and I asked for the police not to be sent. People are lying. Four, statements by the mayor have been made that Ben had the intention to be arrested. That is untrue. My intention was and will be to release Cesar and Joshua. If that didn't work, I was willing to block the van. They chose this. Police response is their choice. Violent response is their choice. Arrests are their choice. Not releasing Cesar and Haswar is their choice. But I am willing to use my body and my privilege to stop them and achieve my goal. The people have the power. Stay nonviolent. Stay disciplined. But never give up our collective power. Peaceful weekend to all. That was from a Facebook post over the weekend by former Spokane City Council President Ben Stuckert. The Moscow City Council tonight will vote on approving the second amended professional service agreements with Lombard Conrad Architects for design work for construction of a new city shop building. The city entered into a $320,000 professional services agreement with Lombard Conrad in April of last year. According to the agenda, services included in the original agreement were the preparation of construction drawings and specifications, bidding assistance, project inspections, and closeout, all associated with the new building. Interior improvements to the existing shop building have always been anticipated as part of the larger project. While the fleet and parks departments will move to the new building, streets and stormwater will continue to occupy the existing building. To ensure they have a safe and efficient work environment, portions of the interior of the existing building need to be reconfigured to include modernized office space with basic amenities. This necessitates additional design services. Lombard Conrad Architects has proposed an additional design fee of $70,102 for this work, bringing the total fee for their services on the overall project to $413,343. The City Council will also consider a request from the organizers of what's being called the Latah County Independence Day Parade to waive more than half of the fees the city would charge for providing traffic control at the event scheduled for the morning of Friday, July 4th. The City Council agenda and packet does not mention the name of the organizers of the planned parade, but it is not Latah County. Previous editions of the parade were organized by Christchurch Elder Jason Elmore. According to the Examining Doug Wilson and Moscow, Idaho Facebook page, the organizers of the parade this year are Christchurch Elder Jason Elmore and Faith Christensen Smeets. The agenda item says the City Streets Department staff examined the city's previous fee resolutions and found the $346 fee the city charged for what the city calls Main Street Minor Route Parades was substantially less than the actual amount of the service. The agenda item says the 2024 fee resolution changed the fee amount to be based on a time and materials basis, utilizing the hourly labor and traffic control signage rental rates included in the fee resolution. As a result, the cost of the Latah County Independence Day Parade increased from the prior fee of $346 to a new fee of $4,831. This is a significant increase in the cost of the event, and the event organizers have submitted a request for the city to waive the device and equipment use fees, which total $2,591. The event organizers would pay the remaining direct labor costs, which are estimated to total $2,240. The agenda item goes on to say the city administrator has reviewed the request and found that the public Independence Day parade has an inevitable public purpose, is a service the city could legally provide, presents a public benefit, and is aligned with the city's mission and purpose. before the first Latah County Independence Day Parade occurred in downtown Moscow July 4th, 2022, the Latah County government issued a statement on their Facebook page saying, to be clear, this is not an event sponsored or endorsed by Latah County, Idaho. This event is privately organized and is independently using the words Latah County. At the time, the group organizing the parade was Advance Idaho, which says on its website it is an economic development group that believes Idaho can do a better job capitalizing on the momentum of people fleeing to states that are pro-freedom, pro-First Amendment, and understanding of the needs of business leaders. The website said, we are starting in Moscow, but the vision is for Idaho. We would like to start in Latah County and then have this radiate out. Advance Idaho printed this exchange on its frequently asked questions webpage. Are you working with other local nonprofits? Answer yes and no. We want to work with organizations that embrace our core values. We want to avoid those that spent the past 2 years locking down Idaho. Although Idaho was not locked down for 2 years, and Idaho's physical distancing orders were only in effect to varying degrees for a few months, more than 2,000 people in Idaho died of COVID. Topping the list of values on the Advance Idaho website was the sentence, "We are created in the image of God and endowed with inalienable rights." Advance Idaho member and parade organizer Jason Elmore told the Daily News in 2022, all entries in the parade must be approved by the parade committee. Elmore said, we're trying to honor veterans and first responders and celebrate, so we're trying to be inclusive and nothing divisive or offensive. He said vulgar, quote-unquote, entries will not be allowed. Elmore said at the time the event was not organized by Christ Church, and later that year, before the parade, stated some of the Advance Idaho board members belonged to Christ Church. Elmore is also a board member of the far-right Idaho Family Policy Center, where his biography says he is the Latah County Independence Day Parade Chair, a board member of Advance Idaho Economic Development, and coach of the Christ Church-affiliated Logos School football team in Moscow. The AdvanceIdaho.com website currently does not load from the internet and may have been closed down. The Moscow City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall.
Eliminating federal clean energy tax credits would impact jobs and energy bills in Idaho, according to recent assessments of the budget reconciliation bill being considered by the U.S. Senate. The credits, passed under the Inflation Reduction Act, have boosted more than 40 clean energy projects in Idaho. An analysis from the think tank Energy Innovation claims the House version of the bill would lead to the loss of 7,900 jobs and increase energy bills by $420 by 2035 statewide. Ryan McGoldrick with Conservation Voters for Idaho says that would only add to the financial woes Idahoans are already experiencing.
It's becoming increasingly unaffordable for Idahoans to stay and live in the state. And the clean energy tax credits is one of those clear ways that we can make an investment to keep our rates from skyrocketing. So we hope to see that those get protected.
Those against clean energy tax credits say they're too expensive and give an unfair advantage to renewable energy. The House proposal has faced resistance in the Senate, including from Idaho Senator Mike Crapo, who says there should be a longer runway for the credits before they're eliminated. McGoldrick notes that renewable energy is important to Idaho's energy landscape.
We don't have coal, we don't have natural gas, we don't have oil. We do have the opportunities for clean energy and renewable energy. And if we care about energy independence, and we care about creating jobs in Idaho, it's going to need to be in clean energy.
Elizabeth Padian is a member of the Boise Open Space and Clean Water Advisory Committee. She says renewable infrastructure benefits everyone, especially as climate change results in more emergencies.
We are in the midst of natural disasters that are becoming more frequent, more severe. It is morally and financially the right choice to move towards a clean energy future.
For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by
Latah Wildlife Association, encouraging hunters to use lead-free ammunition for the benefit of their families, predators, scavengers, and the environment. Available online at facebook.com/Latah Wildlife Association. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Washington's Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction has revised its public school discipline policies, and advocates for children say the changes weaken student protections, and OSPI did not seek enough community feedback. One of the new rules removes requirements for schools to consider alternative forms of discipline before suspensions or expulsions. Derek Harris is with the Black Education Strategy Roundtable. He says since Black students are twice as likely to face disciplinary action compared with white students, they will be unfairly impacted by this change.
This appears to me to be some rollback to a bygone era of zero tolerance policy, which we know within the Black community is a streamlined pathway from the school to the prison.
OSPI says they followed all the required procedures in creating the new rules, including gathering public comment at 4 public hearings across the state. All school districts are required to follow the new rules, which take effect in July. Eric Hosefell from the League of Education Voters criticizes OSPI for doing only the bare minimum to engage the community about the new rules, adding they did not give enough notice for the public hearings and there were not enough of them.
There was one in the whole Puget Sound. So that's close to 3 million people. Only one public hearing from 4 to 6 p.m. How is a working parent going to make that?
Harris explains that most of the Black residents in Washington live around Seattle and SeaTac, yet the nearest OSPI meeting to comment on the new rules was in Federal Way, more than an hour's drive during rush hour.
This represents an intentional neglect of voices that this would impact the most.
Data shows just one suspension can lead to decreased academic performance, a higher chance of involvement with the criminal justice system, and lower wages. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear tonight, low 45. And mostly clear skies Tuesday through Thursday, Juneteenth, with highs 77 each day and lows 46 at night. On Wednesday, light west wind increasing to 10 to 15 in the morning with gusts up to 20. On Wednesday night, west winds 5 to 15, gusts up to 25. Currently 77 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keeping newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept donations of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartas. Brenda Cox and Cass Davis assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next, followed by Bex is in the studio to play music for you. Her show is called Spotlight. Chia Pet will be in playing music for you 9 to 11. And then at 11 o'clock, the new time for Nardwar, the Human Serviette radio show. So stay tuned. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.